Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I want to welcome you to our Faith Family Freedom programming. It is always a special honor when I recognize that you are taking time out of busy schedules and sharing some of that wonderful time with me. Hopefully on the broadcast, there will be something that maybe will be helpful to each one of us. Something positive, something good, something wholesome. Perhaps we can do something to enrich the lives of others. If we could do that, what a wonderful attribute that would be. I think it's just altogether intriguing to see how that we can have an opportunity by this means of media to reach into your place of viewing and listening and be a part of your day. What a wonderful, it's incredible to think about how that maybe many of you whom I have never had the privilege of knowing, at least we have a platform where we can meet and share thoughts, ideas, narratives, stories, and much, much more. I hope you enjoy the broadcast today. It's an honor to have you with us today. And from time to time, we have special guests that come to be with us on the program, and we're always excited about each one. Senator Tom, thank you that you would consent to be on our program and add to the dialogue. We appreciate your taking time, and I understand you just got back from camping, and I hated to take away the joy that you've been having for the last few days, but thank you that you would come and be with us. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
How long have you been in the state Senate, Brother Jim?
14 years.
14 years. Now, were you in the state house prior to that?
No, prior to that, I was retired for 4 years, and prior to that, I was driving commercial trucks for Yellow Freight for 33 years.
Oh, my goodness. So you went from driving a truck to driving the state Senate. Well,
yeah,
I appreciate,
yeah.
I appreciate the what you bring to the plate there, and Are you excited about what's coming up, hopefully, in the next legislature? Do you feel optimistic about what you all can do together?
Well, it's going to be a budget cycle this year coming up, and so it'll be a lot of activity. It's going to be 4 months long, and there'll be a lot of bills moving, I'm sure, introduced. And it's always exciting because everybody's got the best idea on how to make it a better world, right? They're going to fix all the problems we got. So it's always interesting to see some of the bills that's introduced, and then it's even more interesting to watch the committees when it's being discussed and watch it on the floor. So all these sessions are pretty unusual. They're distinctly different between each other, and I guess we'll see what this one brings us.
Right. Well, you know, in 2002, you would probably have no way of knowing this, but I lost a race for the state Senate. At that time, I think it was the closest race in Indiana, 609 votes. I was running as a candidate from Delaware County and the upper right eastern portion of Madison County. And it was quite an undertaking for me. And but it was good in the sense that I met a lot of nice people, and I wish I could have won, but I've always had that interest in the political system. I don't know why. Even when I was young, I thought it would be nice to serve somehow like that. It was kind of a childhood dream, but the Lord has us here in a place where I'm not unhappy. I'm very happy about the opportunity, maybe that we might do something good. Maybe we might help advocate for decency and public morality and integrity and those kinds of things. I don't know when we'll get to air this for sure, but your take on where we are in this country or in the nation or state, would you mind comment on that a little bit for us, Senator?
No, I don't mind expressing that at all. I talk to a lot of audiences. I've got some speaking engagements coming up next week, and I never hesitate to talk about the situation we find ourselves in. This is my thoughts on it anyway. When I look at the troubles we're dealing with in this country, this great American country, this United States of America, this great, wonderful country that God has blessed so many times, I see the troubles that we're dealing with, some of the drug addictions, the outrageous chemicals people are willing to put in their bodies, domestic violence. Right. We got street violence. We got gang violence. We got a breakdown in the family unit. We got a drop in church membership. There's a lot of things coming at us at one time. And I say that I think one of the biggest problems we are dealing with, I don't think God has his hand on this country like he once had because of some of the things we're doing. One in particular is though we did pass a somewhat of a ban on abortion, it wasn't a total ban, and we're still killing babies. This country is still killing babies. We got people running for office who are determined that if they get elected, they're going to continue that momentum of killing babies. So I think the fact that we are still having abortions in this country, we've distorted the sanctity of marriage, and all of the other ills that we're dealing with, like I said, with the drugs and the breakdown of the family and all of this, we are seeing an election cycle that's bringing all this stuff together as talking points. And I just have to be honest with it. We look at where we're at and what we've been doing. This is sort of like what we read about in the early chapters of the Bible, right? Bye. So I tell people, look, when you still kill babies in this country, that's a big thing for me. And you hang a sign in your car window, God bless America. I want you to tell me how that's going to work.
Right.
Well, I'm pretty vocal about it. I say what I want. I say what I think.
Right. Well, I appreciate your candor, and I appreciate the rectitude of what you're saying. We all know, or should know, that there's a God in heaven. And Franklin said that the older I get, Benjamin Franklin said this, he said, the more of a truth I perceive. He said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, how can empires rise without his aid? And so if we have no regard for the life of the baby in the womb, then it would just seem reasonable to think that's why life in so many areas has become meaningless and with little value. And we can see gangs that just take innocent lives, maybe just to be doing something. They don't value it. And we can see the results, as you say, in the behavior of people. You know, I don't think I'm being completely out of thinking when I can remember a day and time when many folks never locked their doors. They maybe closed a door at night, but they didn't lock it. And you know, there was something that you call mutual respect. And I think somewhere along in the discourse, we lost some of that, Senator Tomes. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm old enough, I can look back when I was in grade school and high school. And back in the late 50s, early 60s, and it started changing in the 70s and 80s. And this momentum is still going on. And you're right about the value of life. So many people have no value to that, our property, and it's hard to imagine that in this country, of all places on the planet, this country has dropped to the level it's at. I love America. I love my flag. I love our Pledge of Allegiance. I like this country. I served in the military. I served 3 years in the military, a year in Vietnam. And I'm proud of America. Right. I'm not so proud of some of the people. Yeah. but I'm proud of America.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
Well, I say this, and I certainly thank you and commend you for your service to our country. All of you that have worn the uniform of this great country, stood in harm's way, the country owes you a great deal of thanks and appreciation. This is the greatest country in the world. And I think it was Senator Ted Cruz, when his dad immigrated from Cuba to here, and he put $100 and somehow pinned it to his underwear so he would have some money when he got here. He said, "We came to America because we were looking for freedom." But he said, "If we lose it here, where do we go? Where is the next step that we can go to? If we lose it in America, Senator Toms, I'm afraid that the devastation will be beyond repair." You know, I've said it again and again, and I think that Christianity could survive without America, but I don't know that America can survive without Christianity and the influence that it brings to every issue, whether it's social, economic, or political.
Well, you know, you're right about that. And, I'm not being a pessimist here. I'm a realist. I see what I see. I tell people, look, I'm the guy sitting in the bleachers watching this parade go by. I see what I see. I can spot a muddy elephant in the snow. And the things that I'm seeing happening in our country, and people running for office that are dividing up who's with us and who's against us. It's incredible that we got this many people who seem to despise America. I mean, the way they act, the way they treat our flag, the way they talk. and those in office, some of the measures they have taken to bury this country, I mean, dragging us down. And you're right. If we lose what we have now, I don't know if we have enough people to get it back. So that's why all of us that truly do love America need to get out in this cycle more than ever before, because the sides are divided like never before. Neither side have anything in common. And we know that right side, what side we need to be on. But people need to take a stand. They need to take a position, and they need to get out and do something. You know, to maintain liberty and freedom, it's not just you happen to be born here or live here. But and people say sometimes that I have my rights. Well, that's true. But I've never heard the rally cry of groups saying, I have my obligations. I have my responsibilities. Yeah. They have that too, mm-hmm. but they don't usually yell that out.
Right. Well, you know, with rights come responsibilities, and it was never intended by our founding fathers that we just become complacent and not be involved. I think there's such a thing as being vigilant, being diligent, watching what goes on. And, you know, I like when I have an opportunity to occasionally come to the state legislature, or I go to Washington periodically and I take our Faith, Family, and Freedom handbooks there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we got one of those handbooks into the legislature a few years ago. Everybody should have gotten one, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to do what I can do, and let me say it like this. I don't know, and I'm not being intrusive, but there'd ever be anywhere, whether it be a committee or whatever, that I could lend any support to. I just want you to know that I would be appreciative, that I would be more than glad to add whatever I can to the narrative, to the discussion, and bring to the table. And I feel like we're in a position here where we can have some impact, reach a lot of people. And that's why I wanted to have you with us today, Senator Toms. I appreciate it. Are you in the cycle to be running again this fall?
No, I still got 2 years left on this term.
Yeah, 2 years. Uh-huh. Well, I wish you the very best. And I hope that on the night of the election that we can all be happy, and that with at least an opportunity to turn these things around and to restore common sense and restore some integrity, get away from these the Justice Department that's been weaponized and used against citizens. And we can't allow that to happen. And we've had too many instances where people have used judicial activism to go against people they don't like or whatever. We can't do that. We have to be a system of laws, a government of laws and not of men. And I appreciate your being with us today. I thank you for it.
Well, I thank you for having me. And like I said, this country has got to reshape again. We got to stand up for what we believe in. If this truly is the land of the free and the home of the brave, then we need to show it. So, right. And that's why I ran for office. So I appreciate being on here, and thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the invitation.
All right. And hopefully maybe we might see each other sometime at the legislature. It'd be a great opportunity. You know, when I hear the reports from our previous president, Donald J. Trump, and I hear various people talk about it, isn't it insane and insulting that the government wants to invest monies for sex operations on little boys and girls, trying to change their sexual identity or orientation? God help us. The Lord in His precious word only provides for two genders, male and female. It doesn't talk about an aberration. It doesn't talk about some elongation of these two, but it talks about a man and his wife. It also has the injunction for marriage that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be no more twain, but one flesh. God in marriage that is of God, He puts people together. They don't become two different people. They become as one. That's the way it was supposed to be. This idea that people just trade wives like you would want to change a shirt or a suit or something, That's ridiculous. That is not of God. God has not been in those arrangements. He didn't say that we would leave our father and mother and maybe see how many people we could marry. No, not at all. God is not surprised. God is not surprised by the wickedness that we see, and it is wicked. When we destroy the family, what do we have left? When we take the nuclear family, and that's the problem in many of our inner cities, where the father is no longer in the family, and discipline is lacking in the homes, and children are being reared in families where there is an abundance of drugs and alcohol, where there is crime approval, and where people grow up to do whatever they want to do or whatever enters their mind, and these being filled with all kind of pernicious type paraphernalia. These people are influenced by what they see on television, and so as a result, their idea is that if I want it, I'm going to take it. Whether it belongs to you, that's not my concern. I'll take it by force. We'll break into shopping malls. We'll take whatever we can get and take it because that's who we are. That's the mentality. When we decide that society has to be punished for the deeds of the individual, that is the wrong direction, I can promise you. Every individual ought to be held accountable for his or her complicity and for doing what they do as individuals. Listen, we have to get tough on this crime thing. We have to be able to protect our homes like the Second Amendment. We have to be able to make these people aware that we're not going to give them a pat on the back or a slap on the hands when they go in and they steal and molest and threaten and attack people in subways or on the streets. These inner cities have become like jungles. They have become like many third world nations where crime is the underscoring pinpoint, the underscoring foundation. We were never taught that, not in school, not in our legacy. We were taught the basics. We were taught in school the reverence and the giving of relevance to the Ten Commandments. G.K. Chesterton said, "Men will either be governed by the Ten Commandments or they shall be governed by the 10,000 commandments." And that's where we are. It'll get to the point in time where that we can't pass enough laws because every facet of our behavior will have to be somehow legitimatized or given some kind of a sanction. It'll become ridiculous. Even in the classrooms today, teachers talk about it. The paper trail, the bureaucracy, filling out endless reports because Johnny or Susie in the classroom won't behave, threaten the teacher, call the teacher by bad names, and do all kinds of things to be disruptive to the classroom decorum and make it so that learning is almost impossible without some kind of order that comes from a deep inside place. We're going to be in trouble. We are going to have to get back to the basics. I guess there's no other way to say it. We're going to have to put discipline in the classrooms. These teacher unions that want to somehow give sanction to all these socialist programs. Listen, more spending is not the answer. I'm not against people having a comfortable living in their profession. But listen, it has never been because we appropriate more money that the classroom becomes more utilitarian and more enhancing. Education is more than just learning 2 + 2 or learning that is, are, was, were, be, am, been are the being verbs or that what a predicate is or what a subject is. Learning is knowing how to live good and peaceable lives, knowing how to behave in society, knowing how to treat other people with respect and honesty and integrity. These are the things that should be cardinal points in the classroom. And I hope that we'll continue with this discussion.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
And friends, this is Andrew Phipps, and on today's program, we have a wonderful Christian man from the state of Michigan, Pastor Ralph Rembrandt, and my, he is helping to energize the state of Michigan with pastors across the entire state to get involved and be supportive of the issues and the values that we all hold dear. He's a great Christian man, and I know that you're going to enjoy this man, who also was a candidate for the governorship of Michigan in 2022. He will add to your knowledge and understanding. So let's now join Pastor Ralph Rembrandt. He hails from the great state of Michigan, very active up there. And I so want to thank Pastor Ralph for joining us here. And I'll be looking forward to the input, to the dialogue that he has to offer. And Pastor Ralph, thank you that you would take time and be with us today.
Andrew, it's my pleasure. It's my honor and my joy. It's just good to be with you. I've appreciated getting to know you.
Well, thank you. Well, we have a mutual friend in Steve Nortier, and he, of course, also lives up in Michigan, and recommended that I get in contact with you. Can you take just a few moments or whatever you feel is necessary and give our audience some background on what you do, what is the thrust of your ministry, and what are we all together collectively trying to accomplish?
Sure, sure. Well, I started out as a pastor. I was pastor at Oakland Hills Community Church for 35 years. My wife and I got married at 18. Our first job came around at 21. We have four kids, 18 grandkids. And so we have a full house and a lot of fun. But after, during COVID, the Lord laid on my heart to run for governor of Michigan. So after 35 years at the church, I put in my resignation. And of course, it was with great prayer and everything else involved in that. But I put in my resignation, retired from ministry, and ran for governor in 2022 here in Michigan. Since that time, I've been watching the legislation and been involved with alerting the church to the attacks on our faith here in Michigan. I mean, Michigan's kind of becoming a little California right now with our current leadership. I hate to even use that word because they're leading us into evil, that's for sure. But anyway, we are busy getting the church engaged in God's ordained institution of government. So that's what we're about. I've been doing that for about a year and a half now, and it's going very well. People ask me, you know, what's your pitch? You know, how do you get churches involved? I just point them to things that our governor and our legislature have done that actually have inhibited our ability for freedom of expression of religion. And I could sit here and name cases that bills that have been signed and some that are waiting to be signed. So, yeah, I've just been working across denominational levels. It's been exciting for me. You know, I grew up as a Baptist. I'm Reformed now, and I've seen a lot of people who, who are getting on board. My wife has a quote that I use frequently that the church has been told to stay out of politics, but it's politics that's actually uniting the church. And so we are excited to see what God's doing. And many of us feel that unless the church unites, we are going to be worshiping in our basements. And that's where it's headed, because they are trying to silence the voice of the church with the 501c3, the Johnson Amendment, and all these things that really are have no teeth, maybe some bark, but no teeth at all.
Well, Pastor Ralph, I thought for a little sake of humor, I thought when you said that you grew up as a Baptist and then maybe you became a Christian, but I was just joking there with that. I happen to be a member of Liberty Baptist Church. We're an independent Baptist church, but thank you for your efforts. And, I think until one has really gotten their feet into what we call the arena, the body politics, most people don't have any idea what it entails. You know, Theodore Roosevelt in Paris, France in 1904, I believe it was, wrote about the man in the arena. And he said it wasn't, in other words, I'll try to generalize, he said it wasn't, in other words, the spectator or the man that up in the, but he said it's the actually the man that can feel the heat, the sweat, and the dirt, and so on, that knows what it's like to be in the arena. And so I commend you and applaud you for that investment of your time and so on. I think in the book of Romans, I believe it is, we have the prescription where it says that let all souls be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power except it be ordained of God. And rulers are not a terror to the good, but to the evil. One of the best quotes, and I'll let you pick this mantle up again, Pastor Ralph, because I don't want to talk too much, and I have to watch that. But Mark Hatfield, at the 1988 prayer breakfast, made an observation, and I think I quoted it the other day, but Mark Hatfield said, for the Christian man to reason that God does not want him involved in politics because it's too dirty is as insensitive as a Christian doctor refusing to go to an epidemic because there are too many germs there. And I think that expressly states what maybe you and I are all about. And how would you view the situation there in your state? Are people seemingly more activated? Do they have a greater desire to be involved, do you feel?
Yeah. On that note that you just mentioned, it's interesting because there are a couple things that resonate in my mind on this ability to be active in politics. You know, people say, well, politics are dirty. Anybody who's been in pastoral ministry knows that the church is dirty. So, you know, we say, so what? You know, that's what we're given. We deal with sinners in the church. We deal with sinners in government. And I'm convinced that the reason why we are where we are in the United States is because the church has opted out of one of God's three ordained institutions. You know, he ordained the family, he ordained the church, and he ordained government. And each one of those we're responsible in. Here in America, we have a lot of freedoms. We get to choose who we're going to marry. We get to choose our pastor. You know, we can go to church after church until we find one we fit. So why wouldn't we want to choose the people who are over us? In fact, I think it was Benjamin Rush who said it is the duty of Christians to choose to prefer Christians for those who are in office above us. And so the church has been, you know, because it's a dirty thing, and I will in just a minute, you know, how crazy politics are and how the backroom smoke-filled rooms, you hear about them, and it's actually true. And the reason why is because people want to stay in power. They want, you know, they don't want to give that up. And so they will do whatever they can to keep that happening. In fact, when I was running for governor here in Michigan, not your legislator or your, you know, state rep or whatever, they didn't say this, but the head of the Michigan Republican Party, when I was running for governor, said that he did not want me to become governor because he was afraid I would listen to God more than I would listen to him. And therein lies the problem. You know, that's people who are in power who want to keep that power. They don't want to relinquish that. So they did whatever they could here in Michigan to keep me silenced. They kept me off of a poll that my name's already going to be on the ballot in November or in August for the primary. And, you have to turn in 15,000 signatures that are legitimate. And so there were five of us that made it past that. And within the next week, they sent out a poll to all the Republicans in Michigan. If you were to vote for governor, if the election were today, who would you vote for? They didn't even put my name on there, but my name was on the ballot in August. So those are the kind of things that they did. They kept me off of a debate stage. They didn't let me know when Right to Life was interviewing people for endorsement. I didn't even know that happened. They didn't contact me for that. When there were donors to meet with, I didn't get a note on that. Hey, Ralph, show up and, you know, give your sales pitch. They didn't do that at all. And that was the backroom deals that they made to keep me off to keep me silenced in the whole process. But we had a great success, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for running. It was a calling, Brother Andrew. It was just the sense of calling to run for governor was just as strong as the sense of going into ministry. It's one of those things that, you know, God wants you to do, and you have to do it regardless. And so like Roosevelt said, you know, the hat's off to the person who's in the ring. I don't anybody throw their hat at me, but, you know, we were in there, and I think, you know, there's a big reason for it. And I believe one of the things that we're doing right now with getting the church engaged in God's ordained institution of government, I'm convinced that run for governor is actually what has prepared us for today, which will have a bigger impact as we go forward. And one of the things I've been saying in terms of the church's involvement, I can't imagine God ordaining an institution and then not wanting his people to be involved or engaged in it. In other words, you know, you don't have to get married to sleep with your girlfriend. You don't have to be a member of a church. You can just stay at home in your pajamas. You know, I don't think that that's not the intention. So when it comes to government, that's not, what God intended. He actually intends us and expects us to be engaged. And our founders understood that.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me, and I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits. But these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps. You know, Brother Ralph, I believe, if I recall correctly, that Benjamin Rush was also maybe a physician, and he said that men would either be governed by the Ten Commandments or they shall be governed by the 10,000 Commandments. It's, you know, Woodrow Wilson also had the title of, I think, minister. And he liked to be called the Right Reverend Dr. Woodrow Wilson. And he said that that this nation was born a Christian nation. It's very ironic that the people in political power, they think it's all right if you can use the terminology like God bless America or something like that, but they just don't want you to believe it too profoundly, I guess you would say. They don't want you to take it seriously. And but, you know, Rutherford B. Hayes, he didn't want any liquor in the White House. He wanted hymns sung in the evening. And I think we have some good Christian leaders. I really do. I don't know the men altogether personally, but like Mike Huckabee, I believe the governor of Virginia, Governor Youngkin, he's very impressive to me as well. I heard him speaking down at the for the devastation in the Carolinas and Virginia and Tennessee and so on. And my, he was in supplication before the Lord, and it was very encouraging to have one in his place of authority that was still honoring God, that wanted things to be done and asking for them to be done in the name of Jesus. I think it's part of our persona today, our culture. You know, the culture consists of the arts, the literature, the music of any people. And when you have people that embrace secularism or moral relativism over absolutes, somebody posted, and I've seen it before, they said, like in regards to abortion, that had we been killing animals or dogs or puppies or something, there'd be such an outrage it would be unbelievable. You would think even more so when we're talking about the destruction of babies in the womb. But the even those that are in authority, many of whom today, the God of the universe is of little concern to them. And unless we have a spiritual awakening, and that means me and everybody else, unless we have that, I fear for our country. I really do, Pastor Ralph.
I do too. You know, when you look at the history of America, every great movement has been led by the church.
Right.
We had the first great awakening that prepared right. people for the birth of our nation. You have right. the second great awakening prior to the ending of slavery. You have yes. Dr. Martin Luther King for civil rights. And, yes, you know, sir, when the BLM movement and everything was going on in 2020, church was silent. Church didn't even, when the church steps out of society and allows a vacuum, you get communism and socialism filling that vacuum. And that's exactly what happened with it. We all know that the leaders of BLM were people who said they're outright communists, and that's what their right. agenda was.
They hated Israel, the BLM movement did. And, you know, I think also, Pastor Ralph, you mentioned so many things, and I thank you for doing so. But how can we rightly govern when we leave God out of the equation? Over in the book of Exodus, we are actually given the criteria, qualifications according to Moses' father-in-law of how to select leaders, men of truth, men that are able, men that fear God, hate covetousness, and so on. And I think, I'm hoping that in this election that we have just within a few days, I'm hoping that people will vote at least for some principles, some things, some values, some policies. You know, I know that if we start looking at people just from their personal habits or whatever, we could easily get dismayed. But I do think that we have an opportunity here with the choosing of President Trump to at least give us some hope for a respect for the Constitution, for freedom of speech, freedom of religion. That's the very first one enumerated in Amendment Number 1 that John Leland there in Connecticut helped James Madison do. So we have a great opportunity, and your schedule is just so busy, isn't it?
It has been. I mean, everybody's busy, but we are either on the phone or driving to an event. And we're building relationships with pastors from every denomination, from Anglican, Assembly of God, Baptist. And then, of course, you've got Southern Baptist, General Association, regular Baptist churches. You've got independent sure. Baptists, you know, independent fundamental Baptist churches. I mean there's a whole group of that that are uniting with us. And they're actually, believe it or not, Brother Andrew, they're conservative Methodists. As I mentioned, conservative mm-hmm. Anglicans who really understand the gospel. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to go through the World Book Encyclopedia, and I was fascinated by the presidents, and it always listed their religion. And so I'd go through and I'd say, there's one who's Baptist, there's another one who's Baptist, and I'd say, oh, good, I'll see him in heaven. But never had any thought that, you know, hey, you know, Roosevelt, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, Dutch reform guy, could be in heaven. Never thought about that. You know, I don't know his heart, but I'm just saying, never had any, you know, thought about that. But yeah, we're seeing, as we travel around the state, you know, as we tell people, we went from Marquette in northern Michigan to Monroe in southern Michigan, and from St. Joe's to St. Clair, you know, just crisscrossing the state during my campaign for governor and during what we've been doing of late. It's really encouraging. In fact, there are pastors groups rising up all over the state that are saying, we're going to stick together. And, it's fun when I get an email from somebody that says, hey, Ralph, do you know a pastor in Genesee County that can help me? And of course I do. Right. Or do you know someone in Downriver that can help us out with this issue? We, you know, school board issue. I'm like, yeah, we do know those folks too. So we've been busy. Yeah. To answer your question, it's been busy, but you know, God's called us to this, and we're going to stay in the fight. I don't know if it was Jerry Falwell who made this comment. I think it might have been him. He said, you know, as Christians, when we win an election or our guy gets in, we quit. And then when we lose, right. we quit. But, right. you know, right. the other side, the Dems keep going all day long, all year long, in between election cycles. Right. They've got the machinery running. And so my prayer is to be able to keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Because
I want to commend you for that. Again, I want to thank you for that, Pastor Ralph, and I wish you every success. I wish that it were possible that maybe I could help better, but we do have some TV that reaches into lower Michigan and so on. And as a matter of fact, we've been on two stations up in there, one in Cleveland, Ohio, that gets over into Michigan, and also we had one in Toledo. And I'll have to check that one for sure. But anyway, you have certainly presented a very good dialogue today for us to be involved there. I don't believe in my lifetime I've ever seen the contrast so distinctly. I think the lines have been drawn in the sand. It's been delineated. I don't think anybody could stand and say, well, I don't see much difference in the two candidates today. And the political parties, you know, those are groups that form to educate the people, to enunciate what their platform will be, and to present their candidates up to the public for approval. And so I know one thing. I don't want any more government interference. I don't want more government control of our economy, our social way of living. I don't want the government telling us, you know, for example, that we can't send our kids to a private or a Christian school. I don't want our schools to be able to push down the throats of our young children this transgender transformation perversion and trying to tell people that there are more than two genders, same-sex marriage, all of this is reprobate. It's reprehensible to a thrice holy God. And I'm passionate about it. I want to do more, Pastor Ralph. I want you to pray that God will open up doors, not for my benefit or for my name's sake, but for his. And that's what we need to do. I want to help you in any way I can. And regardless, I want us to stay friends. I appreciate what you're doing. And feel free at any time to call us. And if you think we can help, just let us know what we can do.
Most definitely. And the feelings are mutual, my friend. Anything I can do for you, let me know. We're in this together. You know, in Ephesians 6, Paul writes, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places." And, you know, a lot of churches just end it with, "We don't wrestle. We're not getting involved. We're not getting engaged." But that's not what Paul says. We don't wrestle against, you know, each other. We're wrestling against the spiritual forces of evil in this world. And right. As you mentioned, well, Brother Andrew, there couldn't be more clear that we are, it's good versus evil.
Right. And you know, so it was, you know, when the colonials made the decision, as you said, with the aid of the first spiritual awakening, George Whitefield and the likes, and I think he died around 1754. But with men like that, they gave a great impetus, a great thrust to people that felt like that we needed to be separate from the mother country. And today, I hope and pray that we can remain a constitutional republic. I hope we can.
That's right.
I certainly don't want the socialism to be the modicum. You know, one of the things about communism is their advocacy of atheism, the idea that Marx said religion was the opium or the drug of the people. And so we've got, I guess it's a current phrase, but we've got to make America great again. And we've got to do what we can to at least try to get back to the fundamentals of faith, family, and freedom.